If it hadn't been in church, I would have remembered all of it because it was such a change in my life. I had heard enough preaching to save the whole world, and he used every bit of it just to save me. Never knew how special I was to him until later on in life, and I began to learn more about his word. Then I remembered how special I was to him. But boy, how special he is to me today. In fact, he's so special to me that I just keep drinking from my saucer every day because my cup has overflowed. And the world doesn't understand that. You know, big things happen in your life. And when some of these big happenings happen, they think you're just going to go to pot. And that's not a drug statement. That your life's just going to be miserable. Well, no, he's the same Lord. He's the same one who forgave me of my sins and saved me. He's the same one I talk to every day. He's the same one who takes care of me, who said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. I am one rich dude. You know what I mean? Listen to this. It's so true. Bask in it, will you? Just for a moment. Well, I've never made a fortune. It's probably too late now. Oh, but I don't worry about that much, 'cause I'm happy anyhow. As I go along life's journey, I'm reaping better than I sow. I'm drinking from my saucer, 'cause my cup has overflowed. Ain't got a lot of riches, sometimes going rough, but I've got a friend in Jesus, and that makes me rich enough. I thank God for all his blessings on me and the mercy that he's bestowed. I'm drinking from my saucer, 'cause my cup has overflowed. Oh, sure, I've been through some storms. And yes, I'm sure that there were times when, well, my faith sure did get a little thin. But you know what? It seemed like one day all at once those dark clouds broke through and that old sun, she started shining again. So, Lord, help me not to grumble and complain about the rough holes I have hoed. I'll keep drinking from my saucer, 'cause my cup has overflowed. Listen to this. And if I should go on living, if the way gets steep and rough, I won't ask for other blessings. Why? Because I'm already blessed enough. May I never be too busy to help another bear his load. I'll keep drinking from my saucer, 'cause my cup has overflowed. Yes, I'll keep drinking from my saucer, Lord, 'cause my cup has overflowed. My cup has overflowed.
Enjoyed those two songs by our pastor. As we went through the Easter last Sunday, and then today it looks like it's going to be on the Ascension. The ladies already had this song picked out, but I believe I'll comment on it a little bit. I was able to take my kids and grandkids to an Easter drama, and it didn't start out, you know, with the death, burial, and resurrection and so on of Christ. It was like the great white throne judgment. And it had like 30 people. It had kids, teenagers, older people, different things. And they was going before the white throne judgment. And they asked them how they plead. And they'd say, not guilty. And they'd say, what do you base this on? And so on. And they was, you know, cast them into the lake of fire. And then they come to this one teenager. And they said, what? He said he pled not guilty. And the judge said, what do you base this upon, young man? And he said, the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And he came down and he said, young man, do you know what you just said? He said, and he came down and said, he said, just let me tell you about what you've just pled, you know. And he takes him on and he makes him bear the cross. He makes him drive the nails into Christ's hand and so on, you know. So this song that the ladies picked out is, Are You Washed in the Blood? Let's all stand and turn to page 177. And we'll sing the first and last verses before the preacher comes.
Appreciate you, Brother Mike. Okay, Children's Church. Just because Les isn't here now, that doesn't mean we don't have it. Les is a few miles from home right now. He said to tell y'all that everything is good in England this morning. I want to hear his accent when he comes back. well. Acts chapter 1, we'll begin reading at verse 1. I appreciate the screen, and Judy tries to find all those that she can when I give her my title of my message, and that one just happened to be perfect. Maybe you think you know a whole lot about the Ascension. You know, we just had Easter, of which we celebrated the resurrection of our Lord, but not long after that, he ascended. And we know what the word ascended means. He went up. And I think we pretty much stop our minds as he's going up through the clouds. But you see, the ascension wasn't just a trip. It was where the trip ended that made all the difference in the world for you and I. We sometimes leave the story of the death, burial, and resurrection right there at the resurrection. But we should never do that because he ascended. The story is not complete until we go all the way with him. I'm one of those people that if you come to my house and I have to kick you out because you've stayed too long, I will at least go all the way to where your car is parked and wait till you get in and you back out of my driveway. I just cannot just say bye and let people go out the door. I have to walk all the way to their car with them. I don't know why. I guess it's just the way my mama was. But that's the way I am. And when we're going to take that trip of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord, let's go on with the ascension and take it all the way to the end where he sat down at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Because you know why he did that? And I'm about to preach a whole message in one line here. You know why he did that? For you. Every one of us in here. That was hard for him to ascend and go back and sit at the right hand of God. Because he did it. Well, let's just get into the message and see what happened in that. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of many 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, here's the rest of the story. And when he had spoken these words he just spoke, these things, while they beheld, while they were looking on him, this is a scene in itself. While they beheld, he was taken up. Now I want you to associate this with the rapture, okay? Because one day, he's coming back for his church. And I know some preachers say, well, the word rapture is not in the Bible. The word rapture means to be taken up. And when we are taken up, and he does use those words, and when we are taken up, we're going to be just like this. Here's what he said. He was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Wow. That was the latest model, too, with all the technology on it. Yeah, had the moon roof all the way back. Just put him in there and took him right on out of sight. Are you with me? Let your imagination go a little bit here. God gave you one. Amen? He did. Use it. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, now remember, the cloud had received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. When he went out, he sent two back. What a Savior. Oh, hallelujah. He knew they'd have questions, right? So, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Why are you standing here looking up there? He's gone now. He's out of sight. And you don't need to be standing here wasting your time looking up any longer. There are things to do. And I would say to every one of us, let's not waste our time just looking up in the heavens. We got things to do. The Lord didn't leave us here to just gaze. He left us here to get busy and do some things for him, because he had done everything that he was going to do. When he ascended, he was going toward his final resting place up there where everything was done. Everything was over. So he said, they said to them, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner. They didn't see a mist go up. They didn't see some sort of something in the air. They saw him go up. It was as plain as day. Now, I know that would have shaken some of you up. If the Lord took me up right now, and he could do that in my body that he would take me up in, he could send me right up through this ceiling, right on through the roof, and you'd wonder how in the world that happened. It's okay, I'm telling you, let your imagination run wild here, because it is wild what happened here. Amen? It is. And it's as spiritual as it gets. And so he said, he shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Same way, bodily. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this scripture. We thank you that you're going to remind us of why you ascended from this old earth and went into glory. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do, and I praise you for what you'll do in our lives next week because of what we're going to learn here today. We praise you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Very rarely in the Old Testament is the ascension of the Lord mentioned or even hinted to. But in Isaiah 53, you will find the hint, because Isaiah 53 deals with the sufferings and the humiliation of Jesus. And he goes on from that to hint to this thing that's going to happen in the heavens. He doesn't call it the ascension. He just lets us know what happened in that next step. Now, and you remember this, don't you? The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Thank you all. You're getting better as we go along. We know that happens. So in Isaiah 53, He gives us what is concealed in the New Testament. Now, the New Testament is going to reveal it one day, and we'll see that revealed here in Acts chapter 1. So he was alluding to what would happen in Acts chapter 1 when he was in Isaiah 53. What we need to do today is believe. Big word, huge word, and we use it so lightly. Because if you really honestly believe, here's another one of my sayings, hope you never forget these. What a man believes will determine what he does. That's as plain as the gospel can get. What a man believes will determine what he does. Now, if you believe that Jesus Christ was born, lived, died, resurrected, and ascended, then we should be astonished at the ascension. We should stand there with our mouths open, just like these men did here, looking up. It wasn't wrong for them to look up into heaven. The angels were just putting them back on track. You got to come back down to earth because you're not going up right now. You've got someone who's going up for you, but you're not going up right now. So he says, this same Jesus that left in this human body, a body still wearing the scars of Calvary, went back to sit at the right hand of his Father. And that's where he is. Now you might say, well, why is that? I've known that story about the ascension. I know about him going up. But do you really believe that he went up in that body, not in some mystical spiritual thing? He went up in that body, went all the way into glory, and sit down right beside God the Father in heaven. Now you got to go there with me. If you don't go there with me, you can't believe that one day you'll resurrect from whatever graveyard you're from or wherever you are to where he puts your body, your terrestrial, celestial body together with that so he can take you on. You say, well, is that going to be the same? You're going just like he is. You are. Now, I don't understand the terrestrial body. I don't pretend to understand it. Don't understand the celestial body. I do know it's a body. And it's going right on into glory just like his did. And whether we'll sit at the right hand or not, probably not, because we're going to be kneeling at his feet. We've got some worshiping to do in heaven. So this saving Christ of mine, this saving Lord of mine, whom I came to one day and said, Lord, save me, he is now sitting at the Father's right hand, satisfied. Like that word? He's sitting there satisfied that his work is finished. He came all the way from glory down here to be born as a human being in the house of Mary and Joseph so that he could live like one of us. And one day at 33 and a half years old, he would take that human body and he would offer it up on an old rugged cross to die for you and I. His blood would be shed, not the same blood as you and I have, because his blood was not from an earthly father. His blood was from a heavenly father. He was different, but he was the same. He was God, yet he was man. He is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. He was everything that you and I needed so that one day we could go to heaven. If you want to describe him, he was God's perfect man. God's perfect man. And every one of us today would say, well, I'm not perfect. And you would be totally right, unless God looks at you through his Son, Jesus Christ, of which he does. Amen? Of which he does. So you today are special in the fact that you are perfect. And don't you go out here and start telling everybody I'm perfect. They're going to wonder about you, okay? Then you got to explain salvation to them. Well, that wouldn't be bad at all, would it? It's not necessary to prove the ascension. I don't have to get up here and say, well, I'm telling you why if I have to prove the ascension to you, you got a belief problem. Huh? Yeah, you got a belief problem with everything. Because I'm not going to try to prove the ascension. I can't do that. But what I can do is tell you about something that you already know and it's established in your life, that Jesus Christ was resurrected. You say, oh, yeah. Okay, then I don't have to say a thing about ascension. If you believe in the resurrection, folks, if you can believe in the resurrection of the dead, you can believe in a body losing gravity on this old earth and going into glory. The ascension, it's a wonderful, absolute wonderful thing. So he did rise from the dead, and now he is sitting there at the right hand of God. That's what this story tells us. And at this moment, this man of Nazareth, or this man of Galilee, as I like to say it, because I remember that old-time song, oh, that man of Galilee. Love that old song. Google it sometime, see if it comes up. It's probably too old to Google. At this moment, as he went up, this man of Nazareth, the Son of God, is sitting at the right hand of his Father. Now, looking at the ascension as God's perfect man coming into heaven. That's where I want to take you. I want you to, if you will, forget a moment that his feet left the earth. Have you ever been dreaming that your feet just left? Huh? What a feeling that must have been. What a sight that must have been to watch his feet just all of a sudden leave the earth. And he just rose right on up out of sight. And the clouds swooped down and took him and said, come on, let's go home. Are you with me? I want you to get there, because now where I'm taking you is right inside. Because what happens here, there are three things. Now, we always have three things, but these three things are really perfect things, because we're talking about God's perfect man here. In his perfection, he realized just means that everything he had preached and taught down here on the earth, it finally came to fruition, because the journey was over. Now, it can't be realized until it's over. If you're going to take vacation and you're going down to, well, I always use Myrtle Beach because more people go to Myrtle Beach than anywhere else, and you're going to go to Myrtle Beach, your realization is not completed, it's not finalized until you see the ocean, until your feet hit the sand on the beach at Myrtle Beach. Then it's realized, I'm here. This vacation that I planned is now finalized. I'm here. Well, that's what's happening right here. He is realizing his divine purpose for you. His going up didn't have anything to go about going back home to Dad. Now, I kind of thought about not saying that, but I wanted to bring it down to a natural term for us. Like the prodigal son, you know, he went back to Dad. This has nothing to do with him going back to the Father or his Father and sitting at his right hand. Has nothing to do with how he would look to his Father. Even though when he went and sat down at the right hand of his Father, he was satisfied, because the work that his Father had sent him to do, he did it completely. He didn't leave one thing out. Had he left one thing out, you and I could not have been saved today. And had he not went back home and sit at the right hand of the Father to be my mediator and your mediator, you could not have had a Christian life or been successful in a called Christian life. Because he's there sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding, mediating for you every day of your life. He's not going to leave one minute out of your life that he's not aware of where you are, who you are, and why you're here and where you're going. He's got all the questions answered. So he's sitting there now. Now, the coming of Jesus, if you're already in there with me, okay, are you in there with me? We're in heaven now. And we're right there beside the Father, because he's already moved in. The cloud took him up, opened the door, and let him out, and he went on in the door. He's sitting there now at the right hand of the Father. The coming of Jesus, you're inside and here he comes. The coming of Jesus into heaven was the arrival of one who had never been there before. You've never heard that. I know you haven't because I haven't until I was studying this message and it dawned on me that when he went in, he didn't go in the way he came out. He was different. He did have that body that he was received up in. When he resurrected, folks, he resurrected bodily. You say, well, they didn't roll the stone away till after he had resurrected. I know that. But you see, I believe he came out of that tomb in a body. And when they rolled the stone away, they saw his body wasn't there. And they're wondering, how in the world can that happen? Well, it didn't happen in this world. That was a heavenly thing. And God produced a miracle there that can be produced again if he wants to. Amen? Okay, so let's get on with it now. Now, he has come on in, and he has never been there before like he is right now. And you remember who he's there for. Amen? He's there for me. He's there for you. He was the first of the new race. By the way, you're the race. But he was the first of the race, the last Adam. And you know about the first Adam and the last Adam, don't you? Yeah, one day if you don't, you ask me about it. And he passed in to the divine presence at the right hand of God in his own perfect humanity. Now, you can't go there without him. No, you can't. You can't get there without him. And he knew this, so he went in for you. He didn't ask for any mercy. He didn't ask for a mediator to open the door so he could come in. He didn't have to. He went in on his own perfection. He needed no mercy. He needed nothing from his Father. He had gotten everything from his Father. And he had performed everything exactly the way the Father had said. So realizing the original thought of God in his mind as he went in, when his heavenly Father said to him, "Let us make man in our image." Did you see how he connected everything together? That's you, that's the Father, that's him, everything. We're connected. When he went into heaven, we actually went into heaven. You say, how do you know that? Well, I'm reading it to you right here. He didn't go for himself. He went for me. And folks, if he went for me, I'm there. Now, one of these days, he's going to take me out of here as a church, and he's going to take me back home. But I have a right to the throne of God because of him. Otherwise, I would have to ask for mercy when I went in. Otherwise, I would have to say, I need a mediator to open the door so I can go in. Well, he is my mediator, and he's already there. He's everything I need to stand at the foot of Jesus, at the foot of God, and praise him for everything he is to me. So, his perfection took him there. And his perfection, remember, this is God's perfect man. There is not another. Never will be. His perfection. Now, I'm going to have to read this to you twice because I wrote it down and I read it back over and I said, I got to read that twice. Sometimes you write down how it is in your brain and you read it and you say, well, that didn't sound exactly like it was in my brain. I got to read that again. And I read it back again and again, and it made sense how God gave it the thought to me. I wrote it down and it made sense. Now, watch this. His perfection in the accomplishment. Did I tell you he was successful? I did, didn't I? He was successful in everything he did. He did it perfectly. That's why he's God's perfect man. So in his perfection, in the accomplishment of the divine purpose, not, Not an earthly purpose at all. Folks, you're spiritual. We're a spirit that possesses a body. We got to get out of this thing that we're in this body that possesses a spirit. We're not. We're a spirit that possesses a body. God made us this way. And he said, I'm a spirit. And I seeketh such to worship me. So if you're going to worship him, you've got to worship him in truth and in spirit. We can't come in with everything in the world on our minds and worship him with all that stuff there. It doesn't work. We've got to come in and get our minds and our hearts set on heavenly things so we can say, I want to worship you, Lord, for everything you are to me, everything you've been to me. I want to worship you today. And let yourself go. Let yourself go. Yourself, did I make that plain? Let yourself go and let him give you what you need to worship him right. Get self out of the way. When he went in for me. Success. So for this divine purpose that he knew was accomplished for me, I sing the song, I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. But I did not really realize what all it was to me to be redeemed until I got into this ascension. And I went in right into the feet of Jesus with him, and I realized that his divine purpose for me of redemption was for me because I was a ruined individual. I was ruined. I was all wrong. He made me all right. He did. The one who went in and sat down at the right hand of God, he did all that for me because he loves me. He loved me, he loves me, and he'll forever love me, Chris. Don't forget that. Success. Success. The price had already been paid in full. He paid every bit of it. Success was those scars of suffering and pain on those precious hands. You can't talk about his sufferings unless you look at his hands, unless you look at his feet, unless you look at his side, unless you look at his brow, unless you can visually see the blood as it drops from his brow down across his face and down across his body and drips off of his toes at the bottom of the cross. You can't ever know what he went through until you see that bloody mess on Calvary, and it was all for me and it was all for you. When he went into glory that day, he took in with him the fact that he was perfect, that he had shed that precious blood for me. He gave up everything so that I could live and go to heaven myself one day. Amen. What a Savior. Oh, hallelujah. And he could say, I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. When he sat down, there would be no more death. None. But Jesus should not have died. Let me take you back to that point. Jesus should not have died. And we know this according to what the Bible says. Because you see, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. If you ever have to have a reason why he should not have died, you say, and I know we Christians say, well, that should have been me. He died in my place. But he did die. And he should not have. Because the wages of sin is death. He was sinless. He knew no sin. When he went in before the Father that day, and I know this for a fact because I've studied the life of Christ more than anything, because I want to know more about the one who died for me and who lives for me now. He was victorious for me. He was victorious for you. And you are victorious because he was. Remember, everything depends on him. If you're going to heaven, it will not be because that one day in a building somewhere you made a decision. That's not it at all. The reason you're going to heaven is because of everything he did. Oh, you listened and you said, Father, forgive me. And I'm glad you did, because then he only what he did can be put into place then. But he was successful because of you. That's who he was successful for. He was victorious for you. That's who he was victorious for. The one in whom death had no place has died in the place of the one who should have died. You, me, every one of us. Now this wonderful Savior, boy, it makes me want to sing, oh, hallelujah. How he shed his blood for me. The redemption of a ruined individual. Every one of us in here were ruined. Ruined. No hope. In his perfection, he passed into heaven, victorious over his enemies, over sin, over Satan, over death. The things that you and I cannot be victorious over. We can't. We can't. If you try in your own self to be victorious over sin, and you say, well, I'm a Christian, I can be victorious over sin, you won't without him. You're not going to be victorious over death without him. But you say, but I have eternal life. You do, because of him. It's all because of him. For man, he stood in the perfection of his own saviorhood. Saviorhood. Because you see, we talk about him in his manhood. When he stood before his Father in his own manhood, he stood in his own perfection. But when he stood for us, he stood in his saviorhood. Oh, what a Savior. Are you getting the song now? Oh, what a Savior. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, what a Savior. Ascended right on into the throne of his Father. It is now, at this moment in time, and there is no time there, but we'll say for our benefit, at this moment that we're looking at, and we've moved ourselves right into the throne of God, and we've seen Jesus, the Savior, sitting there at his right hand, and we know why he came in. We know who he is. We know everything about him. But see, when he came in on this day, he came in taking possession of his name. You thought the story was over when he died. That Jesus died. Oh, but no, you say, oh no, but the story was over when he resurrected. Because Jesus resurrected. Jesus died and Jesus resurrected. Oh no, the story wasn't over there either. Because let me take you back to where he was born, because we've got to know this. You've got to know this. It is now at this point that he is invested in his name, the name of Jesus. Go back to when he was born. The word declares, God gave unto him the name which is above every name. Now that name was Jesus, but when Mary called him Jesus, when Mary called him Jesus, that was her son. But it was also the Son of God. And she called him Jesus as an infant. Can you imagine how sweetly she said that name? Whew. She said Jesus. It wasn't just because he was born to her that she had just given birth to him. It's because she had been told before, you'll call his name Jesus. right from heaven itself. He said that's that prophesied. That's what his name will be in the Old Testament. That is bringing about the New Testament when he said his name will be Jesus, Emmanuel. He was Jesus to her as he grew up. And as he would be out playing with the other kids, she'd say, Jesus, come here. You know what he did? He didn't say, I'll do it later. He came to his mom. You know why I know? He was a perfect person. He was perfect. Your children aren't perfect. I was not perfect. I know y'all thought I was. I was not perfect. You weren't perfect. But when she said, Jesus, come here, he came there. When he got into his manhood, when he started his ministry, everybody knew the name Jesus. What a name. But that was a name that would be prophesied that would be his. When the disciples would say, Jesus, that's who he was to them. He was Jesus. He was their Savior. He was their Master. He was their Lord. When he would be hung on the old rugged cross, they would put his name above him on the cross. Jesus. It was not until he ascended into glory and sat at his Father's right hand that Jesus was then his name. Nailed down. Nailed down. It wasn't prophesied that it would be. It was what it was. Wow. My Jesus. He's my Jesus. He's my Lord. And I love him. I love him for what he did for me. And I love him for what he did for you. And I love him for what he did for all mankind. Every person you'll meet next week, he did that very same thing for them. And he sits at the right hand of the Father today, interceding for every one of his children, because he's Jesus. He's the Savior of the world. Ascended. Let us pray. Once I was straying in sin's dark valley, no hope within could I see. They searched through heaven and found a Savior to save a poor lost soul like me. Oh, what a Savior! Oh, hallelujah! His side was riven. The nails pierced his hands and feet. The crown of thorns pierced his head. Now he sits there beside his Father, looking at every one of us. Wow. Our God in heaven, thank you for your Son. Thank you for our Savior. We're so glad, so happy that you gave your only begotten Son
that we wouldn't have to perish one day, but that we could have life and have it more abundantly and forever because of the plan you had for us. And Lord, if there's a person in this building today that can't honestly say, I am saved, Lord, I pray that they'll recognize their sin of unbelief and cry out today, oh God, I need your Son as my Savior. And we'll praise you for everything you do. In Jesus' name, amen.